Hello there. How was your lunch, guys? Good? How good was it? 1 to 10? 10. Great, guys. Next question. What is a good and profitable Akya? Anyone can answer this one?
One that brings money to you.
One that brings money to you. Good answer. Do we have any other answers?
One that doesn't cost too much money to you.
One that doesn't cost too much money to you. That's a great answer as well. It could also be something that brings you joy. I know a lot of people, they're just looking for a second home or a home in Japan. Since the real estate market all over the world is just going bananas right now. But to me, I live in Japan, I love living in Japan, and a good Akya to me and how I source my Akyas is something that I will talk about in this presentation. Anton is my name. I'll talk about researching, sourcing, and finding cheap properties in Japan, mostly in Tokyo and its surrounding prefectures. Turning Akyas into profitable short-term rentals is what I've been occupied with the past few years. And I will talk a little bit about the process of getting there as well. What do I do for a living? Right now, too much, but I run a YouTube channel, I do social media, I do media, and I also do real estate and renovation. I have long-term rentals and short-term rentals. Most of my houses have been Akyas once upon a time, but I've renovated them and I'm basically doing a mix of what Ziv, Emil, Tracy, and Blanca is doing. And I turn them into something I call Japandi houses, which is a mix between Japan and Scandinavian design. These old neglected properties, they're getting a new life this way. I have long-term rentals as well, but we at the moment have two houses. This is Sangenjaya House. And we also have listed last month Nakano House. So you see, I decide to keep a lot of the old Japanese aspects of the house as well, making them more modern in the same way. And Japanese media, they love this, because this is not how Japanese people would renovate houses. I'm also working on these four projects simultaneously, so I turned my hobby into kind of a profession. Wakabayashi Park House, Sangenjaya Villa, Chiba Farmhouse, and I also have a secret project. The previous pictures you saw is the final version, but I'll share a little bit behind the scenes of what we're looking at right now. This is Wakabayashi Park House. It's a very beaten up house, but it's right next to a park, has a lot of potential. And I think this will take us another 3 months to renovate. We also have Sangenjaya Villa, which is a complete wreck. It will take me maybe half a year, and this will probably be the most expensive property to renovate so far. And since my hobby just turned into a job, I realized these houses, I'm putting a lot of money, I'm putting a lot of time into them. So I'm hiring pros like Blanca, people who are really good at what they're doing. I'm good at visualizing, and I'm okay with the tools. I know what to do and how to do things, but if you leave things to the pros, the details, it's all in the details, I think, when it comes to renovation. In Japanese carpenters, if you find the right ones, they're incredibly talented. So since these houses are more of a business now, I also have my Chiba farmhouse where I go once a week and I can be on the tools. It's more of a hobby project and I'm really excited every time I go out there because it's fun to DIY and work with your own hands and turn your dreams into reality. I also have a secret project by the river out in Chiba. I'm not going to tell you more about it, but I'm sourcing things outside of Tokyo now, since the competition is really fierce inside of the city center at the moment. So I will talk a little about what I am looking for when buying Akyas. I know we're all different. We're all looking at different things when sourcing properties. If you're looking for, an investment unit or for your own private use or maybe a secondary home. But here are things that I'm looking for that are kind of rare in the market and that I see a lot of potential in. And take notes, because this is something I find really important. Location, condition, everything. I think if you get the location, you don't get the condition. If you get the condition of the house, you don't get the location. But if you get both and the price isn't too high, I think it's a go. But you also got to understand the true cost of renovations. Like, the renovation culture in Japan is not how it is in your home, in your home country. And some things, for example, trash disposal here. For the Chiba farmhouse, I've spent $3,000 or $4,000 up until now just to clean out the previous owner's things. And then we got to renovate as well and get rid of the building material, the old kitchens, the all the burnable stuff. Things add up. And even if you buy a cheap house, make sure you have a good budget for renovation as well. Especially if you're in central Tokyo, because the municipality won't help you get rid of things. But most of all, more than these things, what should you look for when you're looking for a house? Or what do you think I think you should look for? Dead silence. Uniqueness and potential. This is a rundown house, but it used to be a beautiful house. Someone lived in this house. Someone spent a lot of time in this house. And Japan, if you've read up on history and traditions, like, they had the bubble era in the 80s, 90s. And a lot of these houses used to be really luxury mansions, really luxury houses. And they used to be, like, rich people used to live there. And maybe they've been abandoned and empty for 10, 15, 20 years. And if you can locate these houses and bring them back to life, I see a lot of value and I see a lot of opportunities with these houses that once were really beautiful. How can you make this abandoned property unique and beautiful in your own way? What can you bring to this house? And how can you make this house beautiful? I think that's a question, and that's if you can answer this question, and if you can dream and visualize this when you're looking at houses, I think that's where the real value, and that's how you can really create value with Akyas. And I'll also talk about one of the most frequently asked questions, how to source Akya properties and how I source my Akya properties. Next question. Who do you think has the best access to Akya deals?
Neighbors.
Neighbors, good answer.
Ward office.
Ward office, good office. Good answer.
Real estate agent.
Real estate agent, also good answer. Anyone else? Yes. Akya banks, not such a good answer. Akyamart.com, I think that's equivalent to a real estate agent, so that's still a good answer.
Anybody?
I mean, obviously, the Japanese have access to.
Ieichiba.com
もいいかもしれないですね. It's developers and local real estate agents. The developers, they're like. So I've been in real estate in Tokyo for the past 5 years, and the really high-end properties and the really cheap properties, they usually don't hit the market. They're changing hands behind closed doors, usually because it's a relationship-based business. Like, they sell the, like, in Japan, there's no way to track prices when it comes to real estate. And community and relationships is worth so much here. It's everything. Contacts and, like, your respect is everything. So a lot of these really expensive houses and these really cheap houses that supposedly no one wants, they're changing hands between, like, behind closed doors. So make friends with these people, especially local real estate agents. Like, just go to the, find the area you like, and then just walk into the local real estate brokerage, and they will find deals for you that no one has looked at for years. There's a paper, like, laying in a drawer that no one has looked at for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Oh, you want this one? Okay, yeah, have it. Yeah, this is for you. It's kind of how it works. So you got to work with your local networks. You got to work with local banks, local lawyers, developers, and you got to talk to neighbors. You got to do your own due diligence, and you got to do your own research. And this is very, it's based on area by area. If you would go to a broker in Shinjuku, the probability of them having a deal for you in Osaka, it's almost zero. They'll just look around on Reigns or Sumo and just find the same deals as someone else will. But if you go to a real estate agent here in Ebisu, maybe this is a bad example because it's prime real estate. But if you would go to a real estate agent, a local real estate agent in Kujukuri, where I have my Chiba farmhouse, they will bring out deals for you that's not open to the public. And that's how I've sourced 3 of my properties. You go and just talk to the locals. You create relationships. You're having fun. You get to know people. Your local sushi chef who's been living in the area for 50 years. Maybe he owns half of the block in real estate. It happened to me. Like, I went to talk to a guy. He runs a Chinese restaurant, and I used to go to that Chinese restaurant maybe once a month. And it just showed that he, like, one day he just brought up like a bunch of real estate flyers and asked me if I wanted to buy one of his houses. And it just turned out that he owned like half the block. Just talk to people, be friendly, and just make sure that they're like, they understand you and understand what you want. And as always, the first one will always be the hardest one. Once you've done it one time, you've done it successfully, the neighbors see that, the community see that, especially in rural Japan, people will hand you properties almost for free in some cases. I know stories about that. I have friends who've gotten houses for free. They came into the community, they renovated the houses, they lived in there, and neighbors are coming with houses to them. Hey, you want my house? Yes, you do, right? Who said that? Yes. Did you take it?
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about Akiya investment strategies. A monetized Akiya. You could do long-term rentals, you could do short-term rentals, and flipping Akiya is not really a thing, but I'm bringing it up here anyway because I'm getting a lot of questions about flipping Akiyas online. In Japan, there is something called Ona Change. So you just sell a unit. It could be a house or it could be an apartment. And you sell it as a tenant, like there's already a tenant living there. And usually it's about, in rural areas, between 10 and 20%. So you could fix it up, you put a tenant in there, and then you could sell it as an investment unit. But I would much rather go for these ones. I've never sold anything, and all my portfolio is long-term and short-term. And I'm betting pretty hard on short-term rentals. So Tracy can probably teach you a lot about that. I'm learning a lot from Tracy too. I only have 2 properties. I'm doing things right, I believe, but I still have a lot of things to learn from Tracy. Buying an Akiya is really easy. It's really straightforward. But sourcing a good Akiya and renovating one is harder. So the buying process in itself is really easy, but it's more about how to create value and monetize when reselling is not an option. So how can you create value in this house that once had value, it's now dilapidated? How do you make this house shine again? If it's shining, it's valuable, someone wants to live in there, and that's the value. Either you live in it or you rent it out to someone who wants to live in it. Maybe it won't be too hard to create value. Maybe you just need new wallpaper, new cushion flooring. But it really depends on the house. Usually the location is good, but the condition is bad. Or the location is bad and the condition is good. Or if it's the location is bad and the condition is bad, I wouldn't touch this house. So I look for potential. How can you make this house shine again? Obviously price, size, location, and also sunlight. How good is the sunlight? I get depressed when I spend too much time in a place where the sunlight is bad, and that's a fact in Japanese houses. Many of, especially newer houses, no windows, no sunlight. And I think this location here is probably the most beautiful location we've had so far at JREP. Thank you, Ziv, for organizing. I don't know where he is, but he's there somewhere. And here are some design inspiration for my newest projects, for my latest projects. So again, how can you make your Akia shine? What's your vision for this house? You're just buying it with the mindset or mentality of flipping it, or how do you create value to this house? Have fun with it. Be creative. How do you make this house beautiful again? And how do you make it on a budget? And sourcing material in Japan, it's DIY heaven. Everything in Japan that's used is incredibly cheap. This house is a $15,000 house. This kitchen is a $15,000 kitchen. Stainless steel, Miele dishwasher. Bought it from a showroom for $2,000. Well, it's a $15,000 kitchen. It's 3.3 meters long. I think I did a good deal, but I had to go and pick it up. So I pay with my time researching this and then buying it. But there's that dishwasher alone is probably $3,000-$4,000 here in Japan. The same goes for the wooden deck here that I used for Nakano House, both indoors and outdoors. I got it for free from a company in Yokohama that they were moving, so they were about to throw this all away. 250 square meter of high-grade Gambatsu Malaysian wood, and I had to spend two days, three loads with a truck just to get this wood. But this wood alone is about $40,000. And I have wood decks for my next maybe five renovation projects. So sourcing material can be really cheap if you just know where to look. It's the same like sourcing an Akia. If you can get a good deal on an Akia, you can probably get a good deal on material as well, if you don't want to buy brand new. Because I think there's a lot of value and you can create really unique houses by sourcing used material. Boots on the ground. Have fun, be respectful, and be nice to people, and you pay with your time. You get to know the local community, you talk to people, you make them realize what you want and that you want to do something good for the area. You want to revive the area. You want to, this old, rundown, dilapidated house, you want to make it nice and beautiful again. And people, if they see you over and over again, you're persistent, you're respectful, people are going to accept you. That's how it's been for me. It's been good, but you got to be persistent and you got to be respectful. I think that's my biggest learning so far. Red flags in a renovation and in a house then is also water leaks, termites, and tilting houses. Many of these ones in Japan, especially if they've been abandoned and vacant for a very long time. So stay away from these three. Unless you know building and unless you bring in maybe a contractor who can take a look at the house for you. And natural materials, maximize space, blend modern and traditional elements. All of these, many of these old Japanese houses, they're super beautiful. And if you just bring your own sense to it, I think you can make it even more beautiful again. Overcoming challenges, renovation is not easy, and there are many decisions to be made over and over and over. So be persistent and be aware that there's a labor shortage in Japan. So calculate for your renovation budget and have a little bit of room there as well. It might get really expensive. So here's a before and after of a Sangenjaya house. And of Nakano House as well. So you can make really beautiful spaces out of really like old, dilapidated spaces. This is a 53-year-old house in Nakano, close to where Tracy also has a unit. And we got on the market about 1.5 months ago. It's listed on Airbnb and booking.com. So this is my process from Akia to Airbnb. You narrow down your search area. Where do you want to live? Where do you want your Airbnb house to be? You set your total budget. You check zoning laws. As Tracy said, like it really depends on where in Japan, where in Tokyo you are. If you are in Otaku, they have the Tokku. Osaka also have the Tokku. And then it also depends on the zoning, where you are. And sometimes the brokers, they might mislead you here as well. I've watched hundreds and hundreds of houses. And sometimes the brokers don't even... Sorry, Emil, maybe you know. But many of your colleagues or many of brokers in Japan, they're trying to sell you houses, no matter what. And they say, okay, you can get the Minpaku license here, but in reality you can't. So make sure that you double check this before you actually purchase the house. Define a vision for the property and explore financing options. Most of these old houses you cannot get financing, but if you can, I would go for it. If you're a resident of Japan, you can get renovation loans easier than sometimes you can get a mortgage for the house in itself. Then you buy the right property, you plan renovation, you budget the renovation, and before the renovation ends, I would start and get the municipality involved. So get them involved before the renovation ends, because they might ask you to add an extra sink, they might ask you to add extra emergency signs, and if that happens when the house is already done, it might cost you a few thousand dollars extra, and it's simply not worth it. Be very planned in your process and get the hotel license if you can. Source the right property, make a deal, renovate her right on a budget. So I think these are, make a deal and renovate cheap. I think those two points are the most important ones. So you buy cheap and you renovate cheap if you can. And that's the way you actually make money with Akiyas. Here is just the stats from my Sangenjaya house. We have that big house in Sangenjaya. Purchased it for 8 million yen. In 2022, it was actually my neighbor's house. So I went to talk to another neighbor, I knocked her door, and there was a process of about 15 months until I actually could purchase this house. We spent 1 year into renovating this house, and about 1.7 million yen. It was a lot of complications with this house because it wasn't registered correctly. It was an old house. So total, all in all, about 18 million yen in total fees, purchase price and renovation. And we are now at 96.4 occupancy rate. So we have like check-ins and check-outs. We had a check-in this morning, check-in this afternoon, check-out this morning. So like 28, 29 days a month. And it's, I think the property is just so unique. Like, we created so much value into making like a nice house. And that's what I am aiming to do with the other ones as well. There are people in the area now like copying the renovation and the style, which is, it should be flattering, but it just shows that on a small budget, you can create something really, really nice and really cool. And yeah, I'm very proud of the first one, and now we're just trying to make it a little bit bigger. So I think the main question you should ask yourself is, why do you want to buy an Akiya? If you want to buy an Akiya, is it going to be for a short-term rental? Is it going to be for a long-term rental or for your own use? Because I think the final product is going to be really different. And the way you approach this question is also going to impact the way you approach the neighboring community when you're actually approaching people to buy a house. If you buy one, if you want to buy a house for your own use, it's I think people would appreciate that better, because then you're going to be there and actually take care of the area than just an investment unit. It really depends on, maybe you can buy the first one for yourself and then the neighboring one for an investment purpose. But I think this is the most important question to ask yourself. And I also think the key to make money with Akiyas is to create value. This is not an easy business, and it's not something you do over a day. This is something that takes time, and it takes a lot of planning, and it takes a lot of community. And you really got to create value to be able to market it to people and to be able to sell it and to make money out of it. And this is my prediction for the future. So you see here, this is the amount of inbound tourists coming to Japan. There's a lot of Japanese people getting into the minpaku and the short-term rental, but mostly in central Tokyo. I'm consulting for a few Japanese clients right now on how to appeal to this growing demand of inbound tourism. And while the inbound tourism is growing, the amount of akyas is also increasing rapidly. 22 million... Oh, what did we do here? 22 million abandoned homes in 2033. And a 2030 target of 60 million visitors in Japan. So I think we're going to see... How do we close that? I think we're going to see many, many thousands of akyas being turned into short-term rentals. Tokyo, the competition is fierce. The Japanese people will always have an advantage, and they will always have an easier time getting financing if you're not a cash buyer. But I think rural Japan, if the location is beautiful, if the location is unique, I think there are huge opportunities. That's why I'm betting big on Chiba for some reason. I think it's really undervalued. I think a lot of people have been going down to Atami, to Kanagawa, and I think Chiba is beautiful. If you have a car, it's really easy to get there. There's beautiful nature, and I am betting big on Chiba. Learn how to buy and renovate a house in Japan. It's a small educational series that I have developed over the past months. So I'll keep reviving akyas in the countryside, keep doing the Japandi houses, short-term rental business, media and content creation, and also more educational services. If you're having any questions about buying, sourcing, renovating houses in Japan, let me know. I'll answer as many questions as I can in the breakout session. Or send me an email if you want. I'll also be the main speaker at Property Guru Asia Property Awards in Thailand in December. I don't know if any one of you is going to be there. A lot of people from Niseko is going to be there. Maybe not. And I also have developed together with Mr. Nick here over the past month. Nick runs a big production company in Los Angeles. And we've developed Cheap Houses in Japan, the Akya Masterclass, which is an 8-hour program about buying and renovating houses in Japan. We have 6 different guests, real estate agents, architects, visa lawyers, Akya investors, Akya investment communities. And we finished shooting this 2 days ago. Otsukaresama desu.
Anton, we got less than 5 minutes for questions. Sorry.
Okay. I would like to show you a little trailer that we made for that. Can we see this one? Oh, we have no sound. Okay. I'll show you in the breakout room if you're interested. Let's do some Q&As instead. Okay. I think you understand. Yes.
You can even mic. Is this one shut up? There's another one here. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. So, what do you do with all this stuff? Because you have to. You just mentioned you bought several truckloads worth of flooring.
Yes.
That must be part of the cost, is storing all that stuff. What do you do?
So now I have this Chiba farmhouse. So I have this huge 6-car garage. And I store it all out there. I have the kitchen there. I have the flooring there. And I bring a lot of things that I don't need from my house in Tokyo as well. I just bring it out there for better days. But it's a very legit question. Getting rid of things in Japan, it's a nightmare. Storing things, getting rid of things, it's trash from the house. I throw it away. Kevin here has helped me hauling away things, and then local trash disposal place as well.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Yes.
Since you have that place in Chiba, is it guarded? Is it secured, or is it you just leave it there and you expect that the community will, nobody will come in with another truck and truck
it out? So, I have a funny story here. I purchased this house in June, and the first day I went there, I picked the floor up in Yokohama, had a 2-ton truck, we drove it out to Chiba. It was about 8 p.m. No one had lived in this house for over a decade. We parked this 2-ton truck, me, my British friend, and my Nepalese friend. We were there, we were hauling out this 2-ton of heavy floorboards. It took us probably 45 minutes, an hour. And then we checked out the house, because it was the first day that I got, like, I could see the house. I bought the house maybe a week earlier, but I just didn't have time to get out there. So we spent about 5 minutes inside of the house, and 5 minutes later, 20 cops shows up. In rural Chiba. I don't know, a neighbor called. Neighbor called in, and they separated us, and they interrogated all of us for like 15 minutes. I watched it, but I wasn't like the... We saw it during like daylight. This was like 8 p.m. No one has been into the house. They saw us running around with flashlights. And the police said that there's been a lot of Akia burglaries and robberies. Yes. So it's definitely a thing. It happens. Yes. But we got out of it. I just showed them, hey, I own the house.
Like, so how do you secure it now that you're aware that there's still burglaries and whatever?
I think Japan is safe. We
don't secure it at all.
I have a camera, but that's about it. Yeah. Japan is safe. It's I believe that people are nice.
Folks, pass the microphone between yourselves when you're asking questions, please.
Okay, yes, with your Chiba farmhouse,
yes.
I also purchased a farmhouse in Chiba last year and make it operational at Airbnb this March.
Oh.
And I'm thinking hard of how we make profitable year-round.
Uh-huh.
What I did is, like, I created a dog park
uh-huh.
for the Tokyo resident. And also created the sauna on uh-huh. it. So all those things make me, it's okay, but say, I'd like you to share what you did to make the Chiba farmhouse profitable. What facilities or services you added on that?
So it's an ongoing project. This will probably take me another half a year. But I'm thinking about, like, a dream would be to build a bio pool with a sauna, and I've never seen a bio pool in Japan before, so I think that would be really cool. Sauna, cold plunge, like a beautiful wooden deck where you can have barbecue. We have a lot of land, so it just depends on how crazy ideas you get, really.
You get the natural water.
Yeah, but that would be like $2 million, no? Like onsen line.
Anton, one question from the chat.
Yes.
Somebody was asking, where exactly do you source? You said it's easy to get materials on the cheap in bulk. Where do you actually get them?
Mercari, Yahoo Auction, Facebook groups, friends of friends, like search around the internet.
Be local. Yeah.
Yeah. Be local. And the same goes with carpenters. Like, I'm in Sangenja. To have a carpenter from Ibaraki to come and help you, it's just be as local as you can, really. I think that's the key too.
All right, thank you. We're going to have to stop now. We've got the Q&A panel at the end of the day and at the end of tomorrow. So if you've got more questions for Anton or anybody else of the speakers, please write them down. There'll be plenty of chances to ask them. Thank you.
Thank you very much.